Today is November the 7th of 2009, and I am sitting here at 3226 South Adams in Marion, Indiana. I'm going to begin my interview now. What is your name?
Pearl E. Elizabeth Bassett.
And what is your date of birth?
April 28th, 1911.
And where were you born?
Marion, Indiana.
What were your parents' names?
Augustus Cannon and Mary Italy Fleming Cannon.
Okay. How many siblings did you have?
How many did I have?
Mm-hmm.
One.
Just one. And what was the name?
Paula Maria.
Okay. What are things that you can remember doing when you were growing up?
What are things I remember doing?
Mm-hmm.
Tending to my mama's children. No, making garden with my dad. I love to do that.
Now, how many siblings did you have?
One.
You only had one sister or brother?
Oh, how many did I have?
Yes.
Oh, I only had one child.
No, did you have sisters or brothers?
Yeah.
Okay, how many?
I had seven brothers.
Seven brothers? Were you the only girl?
One sister, but she passed.
Sister, okay. What were their names?
Oh, Lordy. Augustus, Quentin, James, Jerome, Paul. Who did I leave out? That's a strong dream. I left that one up. Gus Jerome. And that one up, I forget who it is. Delmer.
Okay. And then, where'd your family live?
35th and Carey Street.
Alrighty. What schools did you attend?
D.A. Payne. Graduated that. No one heard. That's back there. That's back there now.
That was located in Marion?
Yeah, it's right back there on the bypass.
Wow.
It's a, what's the name? A warehouse, I think, back there now.
Wow. What kind of jobs did you hold during your younger life?
Doing what?
What kind of jobs, like during your younger life, teenage years?
Oh, most of the time I just wait at the table and go out to the country club. And I did worked over to the some place for them children. There, you know, the
at Carey Services.
Yeah, Carey Services.
You worked there, so.
Did a lot of volunteer work at the Marion Journal. And, I worked at Marion Journal when we had to do all the work.
What kind of work did that include?
First thing we had to do, we had to clean the rooms. Then we had to draw. They had a draw, which you call elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to serve the patients on our floor. And then we had to sterilize the dishes and all, and then send them back down for the next meal. All of this, you know how much we got?
How much?
$7 a week.
A week? Wow.
I built this house on $9 a week.
Really?
Nobody believes it. When I got through, when our house was built, I had my furniture paid for.
Well, good. Good. What kind of clubs and organizations were you a part of in your younger life?
I organized the Marion Urban League Guild and also the NAACP Auxiliary.
Okay. Now.
My church and everything in there. I guess you'll ask that after a while. Huh?
I sure will. What kind of events do you remember growing up happening?
When we was growing up,
mm-hmm.
Them's the old time days that we'd be so glad to get to go to hay rides, you know, from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get warm bricks and put them on a wagon and go to Weaver. And we thought we were going somewhere. And that was a good event. You know, once a year our church got to do that.
Really?
That was something.
And around what time was that, during like the summertime or the fall?
No, it would be about the fall time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So probably around Halloween.
Yeah, too much for that because we scared death of Halloween.
Yeah. You remember any of the lynchings that happened around here?
I had gone to Dayton, Ohio, and when they had the lynching, and my mother and father called me, told me not to come home. And when they called out the guards, they stayed back in our yard because we had that big yard back there. You know where Richardson lives? That's where I was born and raised, right there.
Richardson.
What's his name? Larry.
Larry Richardson.
That house back there?
Uh-huh.
That's where I was born
right
and raised.
Right by Westland.
That's where I was born and raised.
By the healthcare center.
Yeah.
Okay.
Only that's not the house.
Okay.
The house we lived in burnt down. That house was moved. I moved that house from up here to when they put the bank there. That moved from there.
Okay. Wow. What were your feelings on the lynchings?
Well, it wasn't right. You know, they found out the boys did not rape that girl and all that. It was terrible. Of course, we had a lot of discrimination. And it was terrible.
Okay. You remember when Kennedy came to town?
Who?
Was it Kennedy?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was the first black secretary of the Democrat committee, and when I got on that committee, I said, now, just because you got one, don't think you got to tell me what to do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we walked, you know, the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
and all, we have had a lot of, when we first had the walk from 26th Street clean to the courthouse, for discrimination and equal opportunities for people with jobs and all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful thing. They still got pictures of it. If you want to go up there to the library, yes, it's there.
That's the library? The archive?
And the Ku Klux Klan was very much originated right here in Marion.
Really? You remember seeing any of those while
growing up? No, but they called me up many a time, told me they was coming out and burn up my house and all that when I was president.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, but they, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we really went through a lot. People don't realize, the younger kids don't realize what we went through with so that they got the opportunities that they're having right now.
And how do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's because the people do not talk history, and they should tell our children what happened and how we've come a long ways to do what we've done, you know, where we could not go into the restaurants and eat. We formed a committee, and we just read the civil rights law, which has always been right. They just hadn't did it like they should. And all we did went in there and read the civil rights law to them. And if they didn't open up the place, they were charged $100 a person in their restaurant. So they opened it up the day we walked in there.
Really?
Many of them.
Do you remember
right
that day?
Down that bypass.
Do you remember the date of that?
No, but it's the 1930s. So, it's in up there at the library.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's go back to your parents. Were your parents originally from?
Huh?
Were your parents originally from Marion?
No, they're from Springfield, Ohio.
Springfield, Ohio. Okay. And what kind of jobs did they hold?
My dad. He was maintenance man. They had a glass blocked up there for mm-hmm. years, and he could do all kind of work. And we as children really didn't realize how poor we were because he gave us. He did everything. We had everything. My mom we'd make a garden. My mom can. I learned the things. I'm glad that she taught me what she did then, because I know what it is, the budget and everything. But we didn't know about budgeting. But we thought we had it made because he just gave us everything, and we did everything. And now, me being the only girl, that was something.
Yeah.
I could have been spoiled, but I wasn't. My brothers was really, though.
That's a good thing.
But my mom died early. She died in childbirth.
Really?
And then when I was starting to college, and I came home to take care of my brothers.
So then she died at the same time your sister did?
She died, and she's only 44 years old.
44 years old, and this was when your sister died at the same
time? My sister died before that.
She died before mm-hmm. that? Okay. So, where places have you been, like your younger years?
Where have I been?
Yeah. Traveling, seeing the world.
I've been everywhere.
Have you?
But I went a lot of time because the Urban League, when we formed it, and we went around every place. So I went to Portland, Oregon, I went to Miami, Florida, Cleveland, Ohio, Portland, L.A. I was out there when Ofer gave us the $50,000 that first time for Urban League. And when Whitney Young was around, you know, did you ever hear about Whitney Young?
Mm-mm.
He was a main director at that time, you know, and then he was went overseas to do some things, and he drowned it that day.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew him very well. We worked hard in the Urban League. And the things that we did in the Urban League here, we got all the girls excited because we gave a debutante part mm-hmm. every year. For 17 years, I was started it, but after that, they had it a couple of years, but then it flopped after that.
Okay.
But it was something.
Is that something you wish still went on today?
I wish they did have it, but I don't know. You know, the thing with Stop the Show, I don't know if you put this on there, but the girls begin to get pregnant, thing you couldn't do those things to your debutante. And then when we organized the auxiliary NAACP, we were the first of the auxiliary to start really giving scholarships of Marin High School. The top 10,
mm-hmm.
we did this, and we had a dinner. For 33 years, we just quit 2 years ago on account of some things came up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people
okay.
want to tell a good thing.
Is there any special things that you remember growing up that just stick to your mind all the time?
No, really. That I think the main thing is school. We never really was discriminated in a lot of ways, but we were. When we went to Marin High School, I always would have my mouth running, you know, and they would dine us in a row, you know, whatever room we were in and things. And we stopped one time when my Latin teacher, he went and changed my grades in there because I had too high of a grade. And I went to the principal for it, and they didn't do it. So my dad went there, and that was it. So it was a lot of discrimination here in Marion. But we've encountered a lot of that. And we've, you know, the kids got it made now. The times that they can really do so great, and I don't understand why they don't want to graduate. You know, everything now is really, it's laid out for them, really. We went through a whole lot when we, if you got out of high school, you was doing good,
oh.
you know. So when my daughter was in Southern Illinois University, that's where she was, I went there on a weekend. I would go down there. I mean, I'd stay there all week, and then I'd come home on a weekend, do hair, and go back. That was it.
That's what Mom told me this year. She's like, I'm coming to live with you.
Yeah.
She said, I'll do hair down there, and then I'll come back here and do
That's
hair.
That's what I used to do. I'd catch a bus and go down there and come back and then do hair and then go back down there every 2 weeks. And of course, I raised two other kids. They don't know any. Their mother was killed up there thoroughly. And they were my niece and nephew, and I raised them to my children because they were only one and two. And mm-hmm. I took them and raised them.
You said she was killed at the Urban League?
Huh?
You said their mother was killed at the Urban League? What happened
then? We had the young folks. We used to have the young people every Friday at the Urban League. It happened, so I didn't go that Friday. And I had my daughter, Paula. She was 12 then. And my niece had left her husband, you know, and she wanted to go, my brother's child, she wanted to go up to the Urban League that night, and my brother said, no, I don't think you should go, because she had left her husband, and he said, because I wouldn't want Francis to do anything, you know, you never know what he might do, and sure enough, and then her mom said, let her go. Her dad had just bought a new car. And he said, let her go on. And said, let her have the car. He said, I don't think she should go. But they let her go. And she was up there. And we always had supervision up there. And we always locked the back door and no one could come in. And we don't know how he came in that door. And he had a gun. And he said, and he was drinking. And just a kid, young folks.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed her. He shot her. He said, I'm going to kill you for leaving me. And he killed her.
Wow.
We couldn't get over that. That was Renee and Nadja's mom. And see, their grandmother really should have raised them, but they were going to let them go to orphanage, and I took them. They were one and two. And see, that's my children. They call me mama because they don't know. They never knew their mama, see.
You was their mom?
Yes. That's them. And her children. Imani, I had raised her. She was on honor roll all the way through high school. And she got that honor, Purdue University, you know, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's doing so great. She's took management, you know, and oh my gosh, you got so many things on my mind right now. It's trying to go through so fast, you know how to engineering.
Uh-huh.
Engineering.
Purdue's a good school for engineering.
She's doing so good up there. They sent her anywhere. She went to London last year.
Wow.
Wasn't that something?
Mm. Yep.
So, I practically raised her, Renee's first child, and she's got two of them.
Okay. Well, now, when did you graduate high school?
1928. You see, that's been a long time.
Yeah.
But I took different courses since then. You know, I try to keep going with things going
okay.
on.
So then you, did you get to attend college or?
Didn't get to go. I've been down. Yeah, I went through there all right.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to many a college where my daughter was, you know, was. And it's really something.
If you could have gone to college, where you think you would have went?
Where would I have gone?
Mm-hmm.
Have no idea now, but right, you mean now, I would know.
Well, back
then
well, where were you going?
At that time, well, it's still yet, our church sent you to Wilberforce, you know where Wilberforce
mm-hmm.
is?
In Ohio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, we paid their scholarships. We owned that.
Really?
This church owned Wilberforce.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we always, we've sent many a person up there. And that was a you know, really known then. It's more or less now, I guess.
See, I was born in Dayton.
Yeah.
I was born in Dayton.
Dayton, Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I stayed there 10 years.
Yep, I was born in Dayton. That's so my mom's family is, well, her sisters still live there. And then we moved here when I was about one.
Davis?
Mm-hmm. Stacy?
Wow.
But it's like the Hutchinsons.
Yeah.
My mom's mom and her kids all in Dayton.
Well, the Davis, you didn't know Billy Davis and all that bunch?
The Davises that I'm related to is Archie and Gloria
oh, that's
Davis.
That's the only one you know.
Yeah, that's my family here, but that side of the family, they're in Evansville and in Henderson.
Well, see, I know the Davises. In fact, I went with him for 7 years. I suppose I married him.
Who?
Billy Davis. As I heard, he's in Chicago. He taught school. I was there when I was taking my beauty work, and then I went on to Cincinnati to finish. And he was going to Ohio State then. I went with him 7 years after I got a divorce, and I was supposed to marry him. I didn't. Wish I had him now. I don't know where, but I knew he got married, and he had a stroke, and I haven't heard from him since.
What plans did you have for yourself after school?
Yeah.
What plans did you have for yourself after you graduated?
What did I do?
What kind of plans did you have for yourself after you graduated?
Oh, I'm going to do great things. You know, a lot of things I didn't, you know, really get to do when I, you know, my mother died. Oh, come on, Lord. I'm going to go get some water or something. Yeah, after my mother died, she died so suddenly, you know, she died in childbirth. After having 9 of us. And she was only 44.
Oh, wow.
So that was quite, you know, that really got it. Me being the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
My dad didn't want her people to take care of us. They lived in California.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home to take care of them.
Where were you at? You said you
in
were
Dayton,
in
Ohio.
Dayton. So you came back here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they call you and tell you over the phone, or did you come back in town?
No, I came home. It happened so my mom was pregnant, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I came home that weekend. And my mom died when she's trying to have the baby.
Okay.
But when my little brother now, they're still living, only one living, and he's in Bay City. When she had him, the doctors told her she had another and she may not make it. Mm-hmm. You know, they did so many things, and they, you know, she died. They let her bleed to death. You know?
Yeah, that was a big thing.
They don't let you do those things.
Yeah.
And before they could take her to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. You can talk about them.
Yeah, that was a big thing. That happened back in the day. Do you remember your first love?
Lord, yes, long time ago. I don't even want to talk about it. He's dead. All of them that, you know, that I used to go with.
Of course. When were you married?
When was I married?
Mm-hmm.
1944.
And your husband?
No, 1938, because I was married 6 years before I had Paula. Mm-hmm.
Good. What was his name?
Paul. Lawrence Bassett. My name was Cannon. See, I'm a Cannon. You know the Cannons.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus and all that.
Yep.
Them's my nephew and my brother's children.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where'd you meet your husband?
He right here, his mom. Long time ago, his mom and my mom sang in the choir together. And I used to say, if anything happened to my mom, that she's going to be my mother-in-law. And sure enough, you know, I was just teenager then, running off my mouth. You mm-hmm. know how you teenagers do.
Oh, yeah.
Never had no idea. And he went away, and he came back here. He stayed in Portland, Oregon. And he came back here after I had been married. And I got a divorce.
How long did you guys date before you married?
Huh?
How long did you guys date before you married?
How long did I do it?
How long were you and him dating before you got married?
Oh, a long time.
Really?
Well, we knew each other when we was kids.
Right.
He used to say I was always going to be his wife. I had no idea.
But you didn't pay him no attention like that, huh?
No.
That's cute. You said you had one child?
Mm-hmm.
And her name?
Paula Maria. She calls me every night.
Does she?
Yeah. She'll be here. Obviously, she'll meet her next Saturday. But she's got to be in Annapolis because she's doing down to the University of, is that Marlin? Yeah, Marlin. Martin University.
Marion.
Martin University. There's a Martin University in Annapolis.
Okay.
And she has to do a thing there.
Are you going to go down?
No,
with
she's
her?
Coming here and stay all night.
Okay.
And, she has to go back there for 2 days. Then I get to see her then, and I'll be going. I've been going staying with her about 6 weeks every year.
Where she live?
She's there in North Carolina. You know, I told you, Fayetteville, North Carolina. University.
Right. All right. What kind of jobs did you take on in your later life?
I've just been a beautician. I took beauty work in Cincinnati, and then I put the kids through school over here. No, I wasn't getting but $1.75 either a head, you know what I mean?
Wow.
You can't imagine everybody getting $75 now for what I got $1.75 for. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That just goes to show you about the economic. People's hollering about it. They say, yeah, I mean, making $9 a week right at Marion General Hospital when I built this house.
And now it's $9 an hour, huh?
$90 almost. Yeah, almost.
Yeah. What kind of hobbies did you enjoy doing?
Growing up?
Mm-hmm.
I did everything my brothers would do. Well, most of the time, baseball. I still love baseball, basketball. We had a basketball team when we girls. When they had a black basketball boys here, too, that during that time that wasn't at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, I played on there.
Did
you? I love the sports. I watch basketball and baseball. I never did care a whole lot about football, but now, you know, I'm sort of getting into it. But I never cared. It wasn't that popular mm-hmm. like baseball and basketball during that time.
Okay. So then how did you feel after the Black Star being able to play for the high schools?
Huh?
after the black community start being able to play for the high schools.
See that? Yeah, the high school used to be up there where they have the those apartments now. You know, up there on a up there on a hill. That's where we went to high school.
Okay.
You know, and then they the year that they built the school out here was the year my daughter graduated, 62.
Oh,
yeah, I
okay.
remember that. So, because she said, I ought to fail so I could go to the new high school.
Then you might have had a whooper, huh?
Sure.
You have any favorite recipes or?
Well, everybody says I can make apple pie. I don't know. I don't favor nothing.
You like to cook, though?
Well, we was, you know, my mother taught us all that. Right now, I naturally have to cook, but the good thing I know it, I still freeze food and all that stuff.
What kind of groups and organizations are you a part of now?
Still in NAACP, naturally.
Okay.
And then still trying to keep the Urban League going again. I hope we can cook. Hate to lose that property
right.
up there. I think it's wonderful. I've contributed to that. Been a member of that for so many years. And NAACP is still going great, you know. This was the 100th year of the National. This is our 79th year. And I got the Centennial Award for being the oldest one still working. And the oldest one there was only about 300 and some people there at Terre Haute last week, you know. Mm-hmm. Also got the win, you know, that was the Women in the National. That was our auxiliaries. You know, I got that award for it, and then they took my picture there. The Crisis magazine. See, they took that, and I don't know what they're going to do, but...
Well, you were looking spiffy.
We were down there.
I said you were looking spiffy.
Oh, it was a golden anniversary out on the gold dress. Mm-hmm. That's gold.
Good. Can you explain what the NAACP actually is?
Huh?
Can you explain what the NAACP actually is?
You see, a lot of people don't know what it, if it hadn't been for the NAACP. They're the only organization can take you to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
That's one of the main things. And they did a, you know, they did a many a thing. We've walked, you know, we've opened up places and people couldn't, you know, discriminate. It's really, that's the main thing about our opening up to see that the schools are doing right, not being segregated and all that. They're still doing a wonderful job. Their prize for the Centennial Award, I got it, was the, that's the book, The Whole History of the NAACP. You can see it up there pretty soon if you want to take a picture of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty. And, why do you think the youth doesn't know so much about the NAACP? And why they're not...
I don't understand why, because I, coming up, that's all we talked about, you know. And I remember when they first started letting the youth vote and all of that. The first time, boy, that we had more turnouts. And now, you know, today, our kids don't get out and vote like they should. And yet they argue about little things that happen. But if you don't vote, you're supposed to have no voice. The main thing of it... I looked at that picture when they first let them vote in Africa, and then people stood in line 3 days. Can you imagine? To vote, standing in line, and we can't get people here, picking them up and bringing them to the polls. I worked on the polls for 50-some years. Last year was the first time I didn't work on a poll.
Really?
But I didn't. They send so much junk. That's why they got junk everywhere.
So you think it's because we're not, as youth, we're not told as much, or you think we just don't look
well,
into
I
it
think
enough?
A lot of it is the history that people don't emphasize what all they have done and what they're doing. You know, like what Martin Luther King, you know, that's when the marches was and when they opened up and those kids down there in Mississippi. You take the southern part, those kids really work hard and on voting, they're out there voting and things. I think North, that's a difference between the North and the South. We have had so much up this way. And we hadn't gone through the trials and tribulations that they have gone through. And I don't think that our kids realize what it means, you know, to get out and vote, knowing that those people are going to do something for you. I think, although we had discrimination and like that, but we didn't have that all that lynching and going on like they had on those kids. They've seen it, you know. That here was a surprise to everybody because they had never had nothing like that to happen in Indiana. And we got a mark about it, you know. Now that's all they talk about. Oh, that's the place they had the lynching, you know. Something. We'll never live that down.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. What do you think about the assassination of Martin Luther King?
Well, it's the same thing when people, they've always thought that blacks were servants. They couldn't imagine anybody speaking out like he did. And he didn't, he just spoke out because he knew God was going to take care of it. You know, and he said, I've been to the mountaintop. That was something, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Great. I just hope nothing happens to Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think he's a godsend. Right now, with all the things that have been happening, look, if Bush stayed in there, we've been in an awful mess as it is. The economic situation is terrible.
Yeah.
What would have been if he stayed in there? We were ready for a breadline. And now that, you know, I think Obama has did so much and they still criticize. Why do you think?
Mm-hmm.
I think because he's black.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I think, yeah, I think people understand it.
But to me, I give him so much credit that he ignores the people because he just says it's a lack of intelligence. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we were breaking the, we had that thing called breaking the barrier. And when the people, white people would come, they would see a difference, you know, in us. And then they'd all, you know, we didn't know you were like that, you know. I think it's a thing of understanding each other, don't you?
Yeah.
Because once we understand each, there's no difference.
Right.
We're just a little color.
Mm-hmm. That's
we're
what it
color.
Is.
Color. That's the difference.
Yeah.
The color.
It all takes getting to know someone else.
And I think, that just like there's so many foreigners here now. How many? We don't have hardly no American doctors. We got mostly all foreign doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But they, to me, they practice because they've had so much in their land. We educate the people and they kill us, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about that man that just killed all those people at Fort Hood? We educate him. The people that had the airplane thing. We educate all those people, but they did a lot of it because of discrimination. They didn't let the black people do those things. I think all of us got to do with God. They forget there's a God, you know, don't you?
Yeah.
You think that they start worshiping everything else, and they forget that God is the Almighty, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. This world is a turmoil. I watched it last night, that Fort Hood and how he just went berserk.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them can't take what we take either.
Right.
We've took a lot. But there's been white people that have had suffered just like we have.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to slavery time, a lot of the white people ran with the blacks. But you know, you have to read the history of them.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you think your greatest achievements in life? Your greatest achievements in life?
Lord. I don't think of it. I don't know. I think being honest and knowing that people do see the good in you that possibly you wouldn't see. But you know, something has to be when people are always trying to call on you, you know, to do this, that, and the other. And I think, for one thing, you learn to understand people. You forgive and forget. We always used to say, I forgive, but I didn't forget. You know, we haven't forgive if we didn't forget.
Okay.
So I think the main thing is we have learned to forgive so much. And I think that that's what God wants us to do.
Okay. See, your biggest events remembered.
Huh?
Your biggest events remembered. So, how'd you feel about Obama being elected for president?
Obama?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was the greatest thing. Although if you, in the Bible it says Ethiopia shall stretch forth their hand before the end of time. I think the end of time is near. I think that's one of the greatest things that happened. We always figured there would be a black person one time or other. I always still feel like there'll be a woman before it's over with. Because women today are really taking over everything. And they seem to have the knowledge, the understanding of people better than the men do. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of smart women. I'm telling you. And they're going on in the schools. They have more degrees right now. And going on with their degrees. Same thing in the churches. Mm-hmm. The women are taking over. I went to the conference. I never seen so many women as being ordained for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Methodist, you had to go through about 7 years before you're really a pastor of a church.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing about they do have a tradition, you know. But I still think that one day or other there'll be a woman president.
Did you ever think that you'd live long enough to see the first black president?
I'm really happy to know that I have lived this long to see this happen. I've seen a lot of things happen in my life, but this is one of the greatest.
You think so?
Right.
Well, good. You have any grandchildren?
Lord, yes. I've got great grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to think about them. Paula has three. And then her son has five. That's my great one. And then her son has the daughter that has one that I haven't seen. So that's my great-great. Mm-hmm. I got one great-great. And the other ones. And they smart as they can be.
Oh, good.
These children today. The little boy, he's in the third grade this year. And they organized a football team.
Mm-hmm.
He had to call Paul. And he said, Nana, and I made a touchdown. He said, I really trumped you, should have seen me. He thinks that's a boy, that's just great. But, you know, I think the opportunity that the kids have to go on to school, because that's, you know, why did they think Obama got where he did?
Right.
He was raised by one single parent, mm-hmm. you know. And the single parent mothers are the ones getting their children through school.
Yeah.
Seem like they're doing better. I was a single parent, I know. And I raised those other kids, you know. It's been something. But, you know, God blesses you in so many ways. And you have to know that He's blessed you and enjoy the blessings that He gives you. Right?
Yep. Speaking of your faith, how deep is your faith in Christ?
Well, I believe in Him. That's one thing. I believe He rose from the dead and that someday we'll have to go through the answering of it. That's how deep it is. Wondering how, that's a mystery,
mm-hmm.
right? How many, they said, there'd be people there that you think wouldn't be there. So how are we to know? We're not to judge, right?
Right. Right. What's the best advice you've been given?
That I've been given?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, have mercy. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's good advice, but I wish the people that give you that advice have they doing the same thing.
Right.
Really.
What can you remember the best advice you can think of that your mom told you?
Oh, Lordy. I need to tell you this.
You know, a mother's love to her daughter is so deep. In our day now,
yes.
You know, not too many mothers and their daughters have a close bond.
That's the truth. They don't. Well, you know why? Because the mothers are doing what the daughters are doing.
Right.
You know? And they wonder about the children. The children are having children.
Right.
And they don't understand. That's why the children, they don't get a chance to know what life's all about because they're still children themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could just wake up. When we came along, we never heard talk about sex. And I claim the TV for that, because I don't think they should have showed all that on TV. But now that's all you see. Isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
And what you don't know, you sure can find out on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then the computers. I call them the devil, because they find out everything. They even get your social security number.
Yeah.
I don't know what this world's coming to, but to me, they say it's modern living. Well, I don't know what's going to happen to us. That's a $64 question, right?
Yeah. So, can you think of something your mom told you that you let you...
I always remember one thing my mom always told us, to wear good shoes, try to look nice, you know. She said, regardless of what, she always was just like a peacock. You know, he's so beautiful and he spreads his wings, but then he looks down, he's got rusty feet, you know, then his wings fall. And I always thought about that, you know. If you can be so nice, but let your, you know, feet look nice, dude. I always try to do that.
Do you? You're a shoe fanatic, then.
Huh?
So you're a shoe fanatic.
I got shoes, hats. I like hats. But we were taught when we went to church, you had to wear a hat. Mm-hmm. And I started that years ago, and I still wear a hat, you know. A lot of people don't wear them, but Baptist folks wear them more, I think, than Methodist people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they look nice. I know I've gotten on the elevator with different people, and then men will say, you certainly look nice. I think all women look nice with a hat. You'd be surprised at people that say those things. And of course, now with me, all these nice hairdos, everybody wants to see their hairdos. They don't.
Yeah.
And they quit wearing their hats. And then my daughter, she has taught Black history so much, you know, that, and then she's in that, they organize that Yoruba. That's what the religion that the Africans had in a different tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And she wears African clothes all the time. And I've got a lot of African clothes because she wears them every day.
Really?
And then she's taught extra at Morgan State. You have at Morgan State University. She used to teach at night Black history. And she said, you'd be surprised the kids that are in the university never heard of things that Black people have done. It's something.
Yeah. What's the best advice that you can give?
Try to go to school if you're younger and get a good education. Regardless, that's something they can't, that's what my mother used to say, that's something they can't take from you. I used to tell my kids, looky, they got theirs. Now, all you had to, you know, they don't care. If you don't get yours, it's your fault. And if you don't understand something, stay after school. It don't hurt you to stay a half an hour at a school. I know you want to get out. I remember when I took hair work, and we had to go through the whole anatomy of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them went on to LPN, so I wish I had did it then, because we had to learn how the blood flows. And I had taken Latin, and it was easier for me, you know, because you'd be surprised, all this is Latin, you know. And another lady and I was the oldest one in the class, and we got the highest grade. I got a 92, and she got a 97.
So then it is true, the older the wiser.
That was in Cincinnati when we went to school. There. It was something I went to school there.
Okay. So do you feel like you impacted anyone's life?
I hope I have.
Do you feel like you've made a difference? And how?
You think I've made a...
Do you think that you've made a difference in society?
In somebody's life?
Mm-hmm.
I think I have. In silence, you don't know only by the way people present themselves to you. Or you get all kind of cards and people calling and I don't really know. It is really something to know that people do think about you, you know. Especially when you get older. Because a lot of people forget you're living. But I think that's because people go home and sit down. And they grow older, sitting down, feeling sorry for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We all have aches and pains, but why talk about it?
You're right.
Really? I know so many younger people have gone on that I knew. And I know today, different ones, they tell me where they're hurting and all of that. Well, I hurt too, but I'm not going to be telling everybody, you know.
You say you ain't going to know where it's happening at.
Really?
Yeah. So what does 98 feel like?
Really, I wouldn't realize that I was that old if people didn't keep telling me. But everybody in Marion, and you know, they know your age if you've been here. Mm-hmm. People are, you about something, so, you know, other people don't know you're that old. But no use you lying about your age here, because everybody knows when. You came up with my daughter, so most of them people are gone now, you know what I mean?
We call it small town talk, huh?
I'm telling you something.
What do you feel like your purpose in life was, or is now?
My purpose in life? Mm-hmm. Try to make it in. Yes, to live that way, to do things. I always say that my motto, if I have helped someone as I travel on, then I think my living is not in vain. That's the way I feel it.
Okay. And what now?
What now?
What now?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Right.
And what do you want to be remembered by?
What I want to be remembered?
Mm-hmm. After you're gone, what do you want to be remembered by?
I have no idea. I don't know. What would you say?
I don't know. I mean, at your age, definitely, I know, like, right now, I'll remember you because, you know, now, not too many people make it.
Yes.
To see 98.
Yeah, and they wonder. And then people ask you, how would you know? People, what is your formula? What is you? I said, look, you have to ask the man upstairs. Right. I have no idea. Because I was sickly a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And my mother and them did. They said I would live to be 12 years old. And look at all my mom, dad, my brothers, all of them gone. I'm still here. And I think God has a purpose. Sometimes you wonder what your purpose is. But then every day, I guess if you've been, you know, you've been blessed every morning. You know, every day people are blessed when you wake up in the morning. Because you don't know what's going to happen in this world.
Right.
Right. I think everybody, I tell them all the time, look, they say, oh, you're blessed. I said, aren't you? Because when you wake up in the morning, you're blessed. Mm-hmm. Anymore, I look at TV and I say, oh, Lord, the way these people shooting and killing, for what? Lady called me the other day and she said, oh, we're having, from up in Elkhart, she said, we're having so many blacks killing each other. I said, well, it's a pattern. We do everything everybody else, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess they think it's an honor. I don't know what else.
We follow suit. Yeah.
But I hopefully that we can have things that make our kids want to go to school. And, you know, I think that the things are now opened up a lot. But just to speak out. And our kids do speak out. But I thought the best thing that happened this year, that they went uniform. Mm-hmm. I was so sick of them men holding, pulling up their pants. I thought that looked horrible. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of people say, well, you just antique, you know. But I don't think you antique when you go around looking at people's butts all the time. You know what I mean? They look so much nicer coming out of school. Now, Renee's kids, when they went to New Jersey over 20 years ago, they uniform.
Right.
And I went to the islands in Nassau over there 4 or 5 times, and all their schools have different uniforms, and you'd know what school they belong to by the uniforms they got, and they all look so nice, you know. I think they look a lot better. No, you think so?
Yeah, I think so, because my sister and brother, they go to the academy, so you know, when the academy opened, they went uniforms.
Yes,
so
right.
So we're in our second year to where Marion's in the first year.
I think it's nice, because the parents here raise so much cane about it. I think, well, they always buy clothes for their kids to go to school. What was the difference in buying one thing the same thing? I think it was wonderful.
And it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to wear. I mean, you still have your different, still have your different selections. You know, you can wear this color pants, this color shirt one day, switch it up the next day. It's more about being in sync. You don't have so much of the competition.
Yes, right.
Because she looks better than me, or he looks better than me, or, you know, their clothes don't look good. They're
and
poor.
And a lot of the fighting was over clothes.
Right.
Because I knew a person here, their grandchild, they went and cut you know, he broke his arm because he had on a good jacket, you know, and mm-hmm. dad done paid $100 and something long time ago, you know. And now I think that they, you know, they can't do those things. You know, everybody's got those same clothes.
Right.
A lot of kids, they talking about you can't afford them. What was they affording? I used to get on the kids talking about they paid $100 and something for some tennis shoes. I said, go get them and put the write your name on them. You know? I cannot get over paying $150 for a pair. And they buy their little baby shoes.
And they're and their feet
growing like the dickens. To me, that is so absurd, you know. And then there are a lot of them on welfare.
Right.
Taking and buying those kids those high priced shoes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best thing ever happened in Marion. They need all the schools to do the same thing. Then we always behind time in Marion.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to ask you.
They'll do it around sooner or later. Of course, even though they started McCullough School.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other schools are doing it this year.
Right.
It's good.
Yeah.
So many people I've talked to, they said, oh, they're so glad to see them walk around holding up their pants. And, you know, I used to say, well, how did they? And they were selling the pants like that.
Mm-hmm. The long, baggy shirts.
Baggy shirts, sloppy shoes. You can't tell the women, men from the women because they got earrings in both ears and long hair and braids and beautiful little world.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I hear you stress a lot about education.
Yeah.
Education is a big thing. Do you think that's a big thing because do you feel like you were deprived from it, you know, growing up?
Yeah.
So now we need to take that into consideration that, you know, there was once a time that we weren't able to go to school.
That's right.
So now that we can, we need to take grasp of that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And
they don't take advantage of it.
Right.
A lot of them quit before to get out of high school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand the economic situation, but look, if you can always find something to do if you want to work.
Right.
Why do these people get these extra jobs if they're not some jobs out there?
Mm-hmm.
Obama, I don't know. They sure jump on him, and I think the economic thing is beginning to rise little by little. Somebody, you can answer.
It's fine.
But it's a, it's just a situation the way people are. It's just wait. People always got to have something to gripe about,
right.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
Better thank the Almighty that we're here safe.
Yeah.
And the one thing, we better pray. Because I'm telling you, I know when we leave our doors open, you got to lock up everything
mm-hmm.
now. Everything.
Yeah.
When we were kids, we had an open porch back then. The house was not there. And we used to lay out on the porch to be so, you know, summertime.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do nothing like that now.
Mm-mm. Somebody come right in your house.
What happened?
Yeah.
What you think happened? You younger?
I don't know. I think now our society is so greedy.
That's it. Now that's it. Greedy.
It's so greedy
money.
That, yeah. Yeah, money is
the
big issue.
Whoever said money's the root of all evil sure told the truth.
Yeah.
And most of the thing about our people, we don't help each other. We get up there and say, I got mine, let them get them the way I got
exactly.
mine. A lot of people still helping each other,
mm-hmm.
but not us. We don't help each other like we should.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of time with the baseball and the black guys that's got into all kind of sports and they're making all kind of money,
mm-hmm.
they could give to the black colleges and all and really help our kids.
Yeah.
They're beginning to do little by little, you know, magic and all, doing
mm-hmm.
different ones are doing things now, but they could have been doing all the time.
Right.
And if they would just do that, they would help our kids in school.
Yeah. They're going
way over there
that.
In Africa.
Yeah. Right. Right.
They could help them right here. Well, like Ofer said, when she tried to help the kids, that all they wanted was those games.
Mm-hmm.
Then when she went over to Africa, those kids wanted to be doctors and lawyers and things like that.
Yeah.
The thing that we have to learn, we're not be ashamed of us being black, because black is beautiful. And another thing, they begin to show it more now. They know that we took pattern, but we have our own patterns too. Did you see that show's coming out, Hair?
Uh-huh. Yeah, with Chris Rock?
Yeah, he said, but he's got two girls and he won't even put a perm on their hair.
Now. Uh-huh. Yeah.
My granddaughter's never had perm on her hair. Paula's daughter, mm-hmm. she. And Paula wears locks.
Okay.
She can almost set them. She's cut them 3 or 4 times.
Really? And that's becoming a big thing, you know, the
locks.
Dreadlocks.
But
you
I've seen
that
some of them locks and people don't wash them. They look like they oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something else. But I tell you what, if we had the openings like this when I was a kid, I tell them all the time, I'll be president. You know what I mean? I would be trying, you know. So I think everybody, if you got the opportunity to go for it, go for it. I don't care what, because you can be what you want to be.
You're right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that's the best advice.
Right.
You can be what you want to be because the opportunity is there.
Okay.
Is that enough for the...
Yeah.
I thought...
You're getting dry.
End of thing.
Well, that's good. So,
the other girl got A on her test.
Well, hopefully I'll get my A.
And I can't. I got so many of them little. I was going to do it today, and I said no because I'll forget to write it. Maybe she'll have one of those, and I can get. I'll bug your mom to you. If she don't give it, I say, where is it?
Yeah, I'll get you one.
Because I've told them I was going to bring up. I want them to join NAACP and mm-hmm. things. And the lady that was there from the national office, she's supposed to send me a lot of stuff, you know, mm-hmm. so I'm going to take it up there to the beauty shop and let them read all about it.
He stressed the importance of the NAACP.
Definitely. That's a hot, best organization. You don't join nothing else, join it. We got a good thing going here, but we used to do so much more now than we do now. Because now, people get in there and they do it for I. And I got a room, that room, I hate to take you in there because I got Christmas stuff sitting all over the floor and everything. But I'll show you some of the trophies that I've gotten from NAACP. And when we had it and we got so many trophies for doing things, you know, we had a lot of fun doing those things.
So it's still an achievement and people don't know.
It's
how much you can achieve with being a member.
Yes, because you know, you get the crisis now, you get the Ebony Fashions and the Johnsons. I met Johnson years ago when they started out. Now, he's a millionaire, you know. What I've got. But it's really something. I've seen their offices in Chicago. They're beautiful. Been in their places. Beautiful. But it's really something for all black people ought to belong because NAACP has been the ones that have backed the people, you know, the lynchings, and they've stopped a lot of that stuff, you know, that mm-hmm. used to be common in the South. You don't hear too much of it like these.
Right.
Because NAACP gets on them. You see it on TV, though.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It's a great organization. Everybody ought to go. It's $30 a year. Or $75 a year to get your life. I've had my life membership for years. I could have had all that other paid up as long as I've been in there. This is something else, though. But if you figure it out, it's less than $1 a week. $30 a year for just a subscription, you know. But your life member. I get a lot of pendants that you used to, if you had a $1,500 people that have that much membership, you got a pen, and I got about 5. I send in, used to get memberships like everything. When something's going on, what they do, they don't belong, but let something happen, they call the NAACP.
Yep. Yep.
He used to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Get somebody out of jail of being drunk. Can you imagine that? I said, what? Nuh-uh, that's not the NAACP.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you getting ready for the holidays? Are you excited about them? And I know you're a busy lady, so will you even be in town?
No, my daughter, I'll be there for Christmas then. They don't celebrate. They celebrate Kwanzaa.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And she belongs to that organization, and they wrap all their presents in newspapers because they say that's giving the white man, you know, all that money. And then at Kwanzaa, they sit down, they go to different houses, and then they tell their children of the history of things, mm-hmm. and they each bring a dish and things, and they sit around and tell their children what happened and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's wonderful. I've been going to Kwanzaa for 25 years.
Okay.
I wish we start one here. But my doll is in the other room. When I was in the hospital, they sent me a Kwanzaa doll up there in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Something. That's why you see all this junk everywhere. Everything. I've got so much in there, it's pitiful. Was you here? I bet you didn't see our picture up last year, up on the billboard. Was up here in Marion. See, a lot of them didn't even look up.
Yeah, probably. Where was it at?
YWCA, right down here on Adams
really?
Street. And coming in 37 and 18, they had us up on the billboard. All of us up there. And you know Bobby.
Owensby? Okay. I do know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yep, I do know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, we were up there last year. And then this year, the Shirley and them, but they didn't get the honor like we did because I got the governor's award.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give that to them this year. In Sector 9, because she's always been Republican, I was Democrat, but we've always been good friends. And I tell her, Ann, you wrong. And she's white. Don't make no difference. That was always one thing I would always speak out. My dad and them was always scared. My mom's, because they said, they thought something had happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still here.
You're still here. So did you ever get arrested or any of that during, you know?
No, they was going to, I've been in the places where they were arresting us, but mm-hmm. just happened to be lucky enough not to. Mm-hmm. We walked to many of them down in Evansville, Terre Haute, all different places, Kokomo. Marion, we walked from, and you know the black people was even scared to get in to that.
Right.
We started at 26th Street and we got to the railroad track. They were still turning the corner, and you know Rem Williams wouldn't let his people get into it at that time.
Really.
And afterwards, then he wanted to talk to them. But a lot of people just don't understand. They're scared. You know, they thought something's happened to them. We had it so together. And the Ku Klux Klan said they was going to meet us.
Mm-hmm.
So we told them on the way that they'd have to get a permit and they'd have to take their hoods off. And don't you know they didn't do it? Because they found out a lot of the businessmen right here were Ku Klux. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
That just goes to show you.
And how powerful, you know, when everybody gets together, how powerful that one thing can be.
Really? You can get it, go to the library, you see where we were marching. And then the Ku Klux Klan, somebody came, they had the green beret, and they were black, and I think they were from Indianapolis. And they was, when we got to the courthouse, we've heard that they were coming with these guns. And guess where the mayor was?
Where?
Up on top of the, behind the bank, up on top of it, hiding. Oh, man.
He didn't want to be in the mix,
it's
huh?
It's been something that, you know, we went through with it, that you can sit back and talk about how we seen black people when we went down to Nebraska sitting out on their porch, and they'd be scared, but the kids would run out and get in line with us.
Mm-hmm.
Kids would. But not the parents. Scared of their job. And that's what we were walking for, their job.
Right.
And really, that's the thing that today we get the black school teachers got a break. We start a hiring them and all of that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them belong, a lot of them never come to a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Long time ago they came. And anything happens, we're all together. You can believe it.
Yeah.
If something happened to Marion,
yeah.
They'll be there. You can't get a seat.
Yeah. Can't get them nothing else as soon as everybody needs each
That's
other.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Just meet at the churches and all.
Mm-hmm.
Not no.
Bobby Owensby's a big, big...
I always give Bobby credit when we were having a win. She's been a speaker a lot. I give her credit all the time. I gave her Community Service Award because she had did a lot to help the black kids and taking them places, mm-hmm. black history and different colleges. The only thing, they're going to get to stay very long at these colleges to really find out what's happening.
Right.
But at least they get to go.
Yeah.
We never had nothing like that.
Just to see the opportunity that we have.
She has did a great, great deal. I give her credit all the time. She's always given me credit. I've been over there and talked to kids several times.
Yeah.
Was you over there when I talked a couple of years
ago? I'm not sure.
I had them kids laughing. They didn't believe that I made $9 a week and built a house.
And it's still standing.
And you know that thing hanging in there? That hung in our house, in our dining room. For years, we didn't have no lights.
Really?
And what, the time that we got... We was back there at 35th Street. Mm-hmm. And the time that my dad and got a petition to, you know, to get lights and things. And I remember them putting the net in a tub and washing that. That's over 100 years old. And all of them asked them, when something happens, you, can we have this? Can we have that? I said,
uh-oh.
Look, everything, Paul, if she wants to give it away, I'll be gone. It don't matter.
Something, right.
Yep, that's it. But when we turn on that light, we just looked at it.
We say, so this is what this light does.
We had lamps all this time. I sure hate to wash them lamp globes. Turn all the lamps every night. Have to light the lamps. Y'all don't have to do it all the light. All you do is to, y'all leave in the press button there.
Right.
Press a button, that's
right.
On. They don't appreciate it. Just like these computers and all that. I mean, these people, everybody's got one walking up down the street and having more wrecks and everything.
Yeah.
But now, North Carolina, Washington, too. You can't drive with them. You got to have it, you know, in your car. You need to have it in. You know, they'll allow you to sure get fined for it. They need to do that because so
I think in Dallas, in Texas, I think you're not allowed to talk.
That's it. Too many kids are dying now because I see good putting on lipstick and everything and driving. Lord have mercy. And have the people run into you. And look how many kids are getting killed. And college kids.
Yeah.
And I remember when Bill Henry was the mayor here. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to, when RCA went out, put the brewery. Mm-hmm. The brewery wanted to come in there. And they, Indiana Wesleyan said they didn't want them because the kids would be drinking. Well, they going to drink anyhow.
Yep.
And they, I think, been around 4,000 jobs with, you know, people. They wonder why the things are like that. They've been sending these jobs all over there in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they think that we would have, naturally, going sooner or later, going to run out?
Yeah.
I started to write a letter and say, what did the man, he finally did tell him that, you know, he inherited all this stuff and he's been trying to straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
They giving him hell, Columbia, because he's black. That's all there.
Yeah. Do you think Marion's problem is they let everybody have a say-so in what happens to our community and our society that we fall?
Yeah.
And we're so behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for one thing, when they do have the things, opportunity for people to come and speak out, they don't go to them, you know. They don't go to them thing. This year, you know, we have Freedom Fund Banquet every year. The NAACP has this been, and they talk about this year, they were more white. There was as many white as it was black.
Well, that's a good thing.
But the one thing about, we had the educational committee.
Mm-hmm.
The president of the Indiana Wesleyan out there, he had gotten all them people that were in the educational, they bought tables. They were full. It was really something to see. And then the mayor, which he's pretty, you know, he's Republican. He gave me a proclamation. He'd call it Probasa Day. That was a problem.
Really?
There it is right there.
Wow. Uh-huh.
I was surprised because he gave me an award the other year of the key to the city as that glass. He knows I'm a Democrat. He knows.
You have your own day.
He asked, could he take a picture with me and him in his little ugly self. But he's learned a lot, you know, because all he knew was Olympia.
Yeah.
But since he's been in there, he has did a lot of things because they did not want that, you know, that thing they got up here where the kids go swimming and all.
Splash House?
Yes, they didn't want it out here in South Marion. They didn't want it at the park. And then when they put it in South Marion, they had a fit.
Yeah.
They didn't figure that people would recognize it. Yeah. I don't know what they're doing now, but they're building something.
Yeah, they're expanding it.
Oh, my goodness. Did you see it? They don't even have enough land now, I don't think.
Yeah, which is a good thing because, I mean, you know, they took away the SIBO pool.
Yeah.
And that's the only city pool we had. And I remember growing up.
Yeah.
And we couldn't wait to go to the SIBO pool. Summertime come, Mom, can we go to the SIBO pool?
You know where we went? We had to go to Anderson.
Really?
To go to a pool. When they shut the pool off.
In the park.
I was one of them they wrote a book about that we went out there to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And one time the churches would get to go on their picnics, you know, and then that was when they let us swim in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they came out that they washed the pool like we were so dirty, you know.
Right.
We broke that down to NAACP. And then that guy made money. He wrote a book about it. But the people that was saying that they were there was not there. That helped us. We had to go to South Bend. A lot of people want to put their name in things that they haven't even did.
Yep, that's but always.
They didn't contribute to that at all.
Yeah.
In there. But it was something what we had went through with to open doors, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been something you can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
When kids, we tell them about it, you know, y'all wouldn't have it, you know, y'all got it made and don't know it. It's something. And they quit school.
Yeah.
I don't know what we could do. What other things you can do yourself?
You know how the African-American boys, you know, they had the graduation rate is so low.
Yes.
And then the statistics in, you know, African-American in males in college is low.
Yes.
Do you think that has to do with self? Or, you know, how they say, you know, the schools don't want them to make it.
Well, you know, a lot of kids ought to go to a black college 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll find out. When you see them kids. I went to down at AT&T, and this African boy that I knew, he was a valedictorian. Over 900 blacks graduated. And do you know, most of the time that I've noticed when those black people are getting there, throwing their tassels, and they mm-hmm. always say, thank you, Mom. Mama's always, if you notice, Mama first.
Yep.
And they'll say, Mom, thank you, Dad, but it's Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's the one who probably keeps them, you know, I think. Women are stronger.
Right.
And now they're beginning to really branch out, because used to didn't let them vote, you know.
Right.
And they should know all about all the things that the black people did, and, you know, Sojourner Truth and all. But a lot of people don't even know our history. And I know when we came along, people were ashamed to be black. Now they're finding out all of our people were princes, and we didn't ask to come over here.
Right.
They brought us here.
Right.
And I think the stuff they went through with, our ancestors.
Right.
And see, this place where Paul and them belong, they build an altar and every year, and it's around Kwanzaa, you know, Christmas time thing, and they honor their ancestors, and they have the flowers up there and the things, and you go past and you say a prayer, and they honor their ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And all the African people, when they believe in taking care of their parents, you know, when all of them call me Mama, when they meet you, and they bow to you, and I said, Lord, what is going on there? When I first seen them, I could not get over that. But they believe in taking care of their children, too, you know. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they never show the good side of all that. You know, when they show the African kids, and I know there's a lot of poverty,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a lot of beauty. Paula been over there 4 times in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got to go to Ethiopia year before last. And when she got over there, said when they got off the plane, they said, oh, they look like us. They look like us. And so she said, the first thing they said, are you married? And Paula said, no. And they said, oh, one of them said, I give you 120 camels. I said, why'd you get a camel so we could all rode on a camel? See, Mama, you suffer. Yeah, I said, we all could have had a camel or something, you know, been riding them down. But she said, they still write to her and everything. Want to know when she's coming back and all that. She said it was something, and when they went up and down the Nile,
mm-hmm.
and then she said, I thought we I was going to lose some weight. She said, every time I look up, we were eating.
Oh, man.
And she's been a vegetarian over 20-something years. But she can cook all that stuff. I don't know what we eat half the time. Some of it I like, some of it But I wish you could meet her. But see, you be here next week?
Next week. And no, I won't be here next week.
Mm-hmm. She'll just be here overnight, Saturday night. Yeah. Meet her. But she's so interesting to talk to, you know, and she's the inspiration, really, to kids because she talks. Yeah. So now that's the way Renee got. When she wrote, when Renee was going to go to college, mm-hmm. she wrote a grant and got firm. You know, I never had to spend my money on either one of them because mm-hmm. she would write the grants. And it's something that, you know, you get $2,000 to write a grant now. Mm-hmm. She can write.
Yeah. It's something. We also, the scholarships, we don't take as much initiative to, you know, go out and find.
That's
because
it.
There's so many out there.
Yeah, now that was I used to blame a lot of the black teachers here because there's not one. The other year, we turned back $30,000 from NAACP. People didn't know. Old age. People didn't even tell them about it. Hello. Siri. Who's it? Who? Come on, Roger. No. I'll call you back later. I got an interview right now. Yeah, okay. I don't want nothing. This is nosy. Said, this is Henry Mill, and Henry Mill's been dead. Oh. Kid, always somebody kid.
So you said you guys turned back money because it wasn't being used?
Yeah, they put it back in educational. That mm-hmm. was a couple of years ago. But now, at the at the state this year, AT&T gave 5 awards. They gave $2,000 a year, and then they gave $3,500. Now, when we had to win, we've been broke up in the past couple of years because they took our money. Mm-hmm. And they changed the thing. Now they've gone back and they want me to revise it again. But all those girls are, some of them are dead and some of them just said, forget it. They don't want to work. We need to get younger girls in there and think. But we were one of the first to start giving the top 10 from there in high school. Mm-hmm. And that was my goal. I would always want to get those kids in there. And you'd be surprised the ones that's coming with three and four, and some of them would have terrible grades, but they would make it through. But that's where we were given scholarship. Well, the NAACP would get it from AT&T and the electric company and things like that. And then we would work with them. Mm-hmm. We were the women. And then we got a national guy 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, be 3 years this year. And he made us turn all of our money into to our local branch and work with it. Well, we would work with them, but we still had our own thing going.
Right.
And we won a lot of honors, and we compete. We had 22 win organizations. They're building them back up again. And we won so many first place. I'll show you then. Maybe I'll let you go in that room. It's terrible. And the things that we did, you know, and how we think up things. One time we went with my idea, we went and built a boat. And my daughter had a big black doll, about this big, you know. Mm-hmm. And we put this black doll up in the boat. And we had an African outfit. My daughter sent us material, and we all had the same material, mm-hmm. African dresses on. And we sang Kumbala. We just got here from Africa, too, you know. And we came with this boat, and we won first prize, you know.
Oh, wow.
But see, now they're trying to build it up. We got a lot of trophies and things. Now, this year, which was they gave, I won a prize, give me $50. Someone said, we know that we'd have worked a little bit harder. I said, I didn't even know they was going to do it. And they had judges of what you had on, mm-hmm. and I was the only one that had an African outfit on.
Mm-hmm.
And so these guys, all men, there was five of them, nine of them. And when they said Pearl Bass is number one, I about fell out. I had no idea. And it was, so the lady that I just been trying to get, because she wanted me to write up some of the history of it. I got it downstairs, but I don't want to go look through all that stuff. Ooh. And she called me yesterday from Gary, and she said she had a lot of pictures that was taken that day, and I'd like, she was going to send them some to me. That was something. But it was really something. It's something to be in those things. And then we see all these younger girls in the work and, you know, and getting to walk and do all the things. It's really, that was my pride to try to win, you know.
Yeah.
We won, too. All the time I was president about 5 or 6 times. They'd quit, I'd take it over. And the same thing is happening in our church, in our missionary. I've been president. This year I said, look, I'm giving it up. I don't care what. Well, we got a lady wanting to run good. Couldn't get nobody to run against. They finally put me in back in there a second. I didn't even want to. I'm telling you, I don't know. But it's work. If you want anything, you got to work for it.
Yeah.
That's what I used to tell them all the time. Look, if you want things, you know, you have to work for it if you want it bad enough. And that's the way we'd win.
Something. Determination.
But I got a lot out, and my daughter used to say, finally she had a shop in Washington when she was at the Fanny Coppin University there. Mm-hmm. She was up there about 15 years. She had a black shop there, you know, so guys from Africa brought the stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you go up, she sent them. I bet I got 25 or more African dresses, not more. I gave God up to Bobby 1 year, about 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby's nice.
Yeah, she is.
That's something. Well, nice talking to you. I know you're sick of hearing all this mess.
No, I'm not
this
at all.
This is history, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, you know, we read our books and stuff like that, but it's never the same as one-on-one.
That's
you know?
What Paula said when they call her Tendai. Nobody knows her as Paula. And when she goes to teach it, she said, you know, to sit down and talk about it, you know, and knowing that you've been there and you've known is something. It really is something. Now, I had a chance to go with her to Africa, but I couldn't take that malaria shot.
Okay.
And I'm allergic to everything. That's why I'm up here wearing these things. Can't even hear with them. Can't hear with them. They gave me a steroid shot.
Uh-huh.
And it hurt this ear. I could hear my hearing began to get real bad, and I knew that's what did it, the steroid shot, the damn thing. Interesting. And I lost this one, and hadn't had them 2 months, and don't you know I had to pay $200. They $1,850, and the insurance won't pay for them. Can you imagine? But I can hear without them, but I don't hear that good out of this ear. That's the only thing. I take them out all the time. I don't wear these things. I said, I better put them in here so I can hear what you're saying.
That just gives you something else to worry about, right?
Huh?
That just gives you something else to worry about.
It's something. There's a whole lot of money I have to pay for these damn things. $50 a month is what they let me do. I just had them about 2 months. You see, I've had them 3 months now. You have to open them up when you're not wearing them. Something else.
Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about, the recession. You know how we're in a recession now, Do you think the recession now is as bad as the recession that America already went through?
When they first hit it, they gave me a steroid shot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I could feel it going on up into my brain. And it wasn't 2 months after that I began to not hear. And I said, that shot did it. But I think they wouldn't let me know that. I think they afraid I'd sue them or
right.
something at the hospital. Yeah. What I ought to did anyhow. Mm-hmm. And that was just in this year. Now, this year is okay, and this is the one. I had to get another, and they said to make it balance. That was just sell it, that's all.
Right, right. To get more money.
It's money.
Yeah.
Rid of all evil.
Yep, that's what it is.
That's one of those things.
Well, all righty.
Well,
I know you're
so
a busy lady.
I hope you can make it okay.
I hope so, too.
So what you had to do, you had to